Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to be in the book of Revelation. Chapter 3 is our starting point. As some of you may know, in chapters 3, or 2 and 3 of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, there are seven churches mentioned in those chapters, and there were actually those seven churches actually existed at the time that the Apostle John wrote this book of Book of Revelation, but also those seven churches represent the seven periods of the church age. And we're going to be looking at what the Lord had to say to the church of Laodicea, and of course that would be period of the church age that we're in today right now. And of course that word Laodicean means people's rights, the rights of the people, and of course that's all we hear about. People are complaining about their rights today. But let's begin, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. That's what the Lord says. I wish that you were either cold, you know, either cold or hot. And he's saying, you're neither one. You're lukewarm, he goes on. He says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Lukewarm Christians make God want to puke. Amen. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You know, the church is in this final day period of the church age. One thing many of them have in common is they have plenty of money in the bank. Amen. Beautiful facilities. See? And that's why he's saying that many of the churches say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Yeah, maybe materially, but spiritually, Jesus is saying you're wretched and you're miserable, poor and blind and naked. Spiritually, you're bankrupt. And then he counsels them to buy of me gold tried in fire. Faith. Amen. That's what the epistles of Peter talk about. Our faith is tried sometimes, like in fire. That's the problem with the church today. They're not being persecuted. If you look in the early part of the book of Acts, any time the church did anything for the Lord, it was when they were persecuted. Amen. And that's what he tells. You need to be, you know, faith. Your faith needs to be tested. It's not being tested today. And also, you know, that also they're very unrighteous. A lot of what's going on in the church is very wicked. Amen. That's what he talks about. White raiment is the righteousness of the saints. Most of our churches, the saints aren't righteous at all. They're not living for God, amen. It's just a sham. Then he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And, of course, this is a great verse that people will use when witnessing, trying to lead someone to the Christ. You know, the Christ is outside the door of their heart, knocking, wants to come in. But really here, in the passage, that's where Jesus is today. He's on the outside, on the other side of the door of the church. Amen. He can't be found in the church. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, what I want to take as our text amen, is from verse 18. He says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Those four words, that thou mayest see. Today I want to discuss how believers may lose their sight. How believers may lose their sight, their spiritual eyesight, amen? Well, number one, let me say this. Believers lose their sight when they take their eyes off of Jesus, amen? Believers lose their sight when they take their eyes off of Jesus. You know, many of you are probably very familiar with this verse that I'm going to read from chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus. That's where your focus and my focus should always be. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Word of God says in Colossians, is to have preeminence in every area of your life and my life. You know what often happens when you and I go through a trial or some tribulation, some persecution, you know, whatever it may be, is unfortunately we have a tendency to take our eyes off of Jesus. You know, a good illustration of that in the Word of God is when the disciples were in the boat and the Lord was out on the water, walking on the water, and Peter saw him. You know, no matter what you can say about Peter, amen, he was the only one to get out of the boat and come to Jesus. But the thing about it, he was fine until he took his eyes off the Lord. You know, when he started looking around at him circumstances and his environment. Oh, listen to the wind. Oh my goodness, it's hurricane force. Look at how high the waves are. When he did that, he started to sink. He cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me, and thank God the Lord was there. But see, that's the point. When we hit a trial or tribulation or whatever it is, the Lord never said, take your eyes off of me when you go through a situation. No, he's saying, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See? When we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, then we get into trouble. Then we start to sink like Peter did, amen? You know, you think about this, I know today in farming they have a lot of new equipment and machinery and so forth, but, you know, years ago it used to be a farmer behind a plow and some beast or burden pulling the plow. But I tell you, the rows that he used to plow were as straight as could be, as straight as any machine could make today. And you know why? Because he kept his eye fixed on something off in the distance. And as long as his eye was fixed on that object, he was able to plow those straight roads. Amen. Those straight furrows. But if he took off his eye off of that object in the distance, they would be crooked. Same thing with you and I. We need to remain focused. Our eyes need to be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, someone often said to me, if Jesus Christ isn't enough, then get out of the ministry. Because I was told things are going to happen. You know, Christians are going to do nasty things to you, double cross you. If you're a pastor listening today, I don't know about you, but I find the ones that I help the most hurt me the most. But you know what? You got to go on. Why? Because Jesus has got to be enough. We have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, when we stop looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, amen, that's when we lose our spiritual sight. Number two, when a believer looks back instead of forward, looks back on the past, looks back to his unsaved habits, or, you know, I run into these people all the time. You know, God bless the elderly. I love them. Amen. But a lot of them live in the past because that's really all they have to look at. But, you know, you've run into people that said, oh, we used to do this, and when we were in the ministry, we did that, and so forth and so on. But if we get focused on that, when we look back instead of forward, we can lose our sight. I want us to turn over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 together. Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, basically, you will? Then he tells him, okay, you're going to follow me wherever I go? Jesus says, well, this is what you're going to be in for. Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, referring to, you know, homes that these animals have, places where they can go. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He says, I don't even have a place to go to sleep at night, from one night to the next. I don't have a home. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. See, this guy, Jesus said, follow me. But he looked back. He said, wait a minute, I got something to take care of first. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Again, someone else that looked back instead of forward. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There can't be any looking back. You got to go forward. Remember we talked about that just a moment ago about the farmer and the plow, keeping his eye fixed on an object. Well, if that farmer looks back and not ahead, his rows are going to go every which way. Amen. And that's what our Christian life will go every which way if we look back instead of going forward. The Apostle Paul knew this. Amen. That's why he passed the following on to you and I. Notice what he says here. Amen. It says, brethren, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. Paul was a very smart man. But he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, you know, but this one thing. This one thing I apprehended, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, that's looking back, you know, past sins, past failures, past accomplishments, whatever it may be, forgetting those things, he's saying, behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Not looking back, but looking forward. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, he was looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. He was set, he was fixed on finishing and accomplishing Christ. what God had given him to do. He was going to see it all the way through. He wasn't looking back. He wasn't resting on his laurels, my friend. You and I need to do the same thing. Amen. If we don't, when we look back, we'll lose our spiritual sight. Another thing, the third thing I want to say is this. Lose our spiritual sight. A good example of that was Peter in John chapter 21. Now, you know, Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Amen. And then he said a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter, of course, was grieved. And he says, yes, Lord, you know I do. Feed my sheep. Now, after that, Peter wasn't content enough. Looking in verse 20 of John 21. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple who Jesus loved following. And, of course, that's John, which also leaned on his breast at supper. You know, further, doesn't give a, John's writing this gospel, but he's speaking about himself here. Which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He's saying to Peter, it's none of your business what I've given him to do. Amen? You know what I've given you to do. I just told you, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. That's a lot on your plate, Peter. You got enough to keep you busy, Peter, than to worry about what John, I've given John to do. Don't worry about it. Don't look at what, worry about what I've given John to do or think about it or give it a thought. Follow me. Do what I've told you to do. You've got enough to be busy doing than to be concerned about what John's going to do. Amen. But Christians have a tendency to do that. They start looking around at what others are doing or they're not doing. Or, gee, why can't I have that position? Or why can't I, you know, be this or that? Or why can't I be a deacon? Or why can't I be a Sunday school superintendent? Or why can't I do this or that? Why can't I be the song? You know, it goes on and on and on. But when we start looking at that, amen, we start looking around at others, maybe start looking how God has blessed them and hasn't blessed us, you know. You know, praise God if God's blessing another Christian. Be happy for him, for crying out loud. Amen? But when you start and I start looking at others around us, then beware, you may lose your spiritual eyesight. Amen? God's given each of us to do. Don't worry about what other's business. Amen? Don't meddle or be concerned what God has given them to do. Just follow Jesus and do and accomplish what he has given you to do. Amen? Don't worry about others. Don't worry about what God has given them to do. Just be concerned about accomplishing what the Lord has given you to do specifically. Amen? Another way that we can lose our spiritual eyesight is when you and I stop looking forward to the spiritual, eternal, and heavenly things. Notice what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He puts things in perspective for us here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and here's a man that went through all kinds of things that you and I would never go through. He was stoned and left for dead on the road. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was in the water. His best friends had turned their backs on him and done him wrong, and you name it. And he'd been through it. But he calls them a light affliction because they're but for a moment, and he goes on, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul is saying, whatever you and I go through down here, amen, whatever we're put through, they will not ever, ever compare to what we're going to receive in heaven. What we're going to receive in heaven, the eternal weight of glory, he calls it, is going to outweigh anything that we go through down here while we're alive in these physical bodies. You know, think of that scale. You know, with the little plates on either side of it. The eternal weight of glory is going to weigh down. You know, it's going to go way down. It's going to weigh down whatever you and I go through down here. It's lopsided. Amen? It's lopsided. But we're going to get up there. Is going to far exceed whatever you and I have gone down through here. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, talking about the physical realm, but at the things which are not seen, the spiritual realm, heavenly things, spiritual things, laying treasures up in heaven. Amen. Praying, reading your Bible, witnessing, leading people to Christ, teaching, preaching. For the things which are seen are temporal. Amen. They're not going to last. They're only temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. They're going to last forever. So that's where our focus has to be. That's where we should be looking. Forward to the spiritual, to the eternal, to the heavenly. As Abraham was looking for a far better country. Amen. As it says. A heavenly one. And when we take our eyes off of that, when we stop looking that way, looking forward to being in the presence of the Lord for time and eternity, ruling and reigning with him during the millennium. When we take our focus, when we stop looking at those spiritual, eternal, and heavenly things, then we lose our spiritual eyesight. Amen. We're no good for ourselves and for others. Amen. God can't use us. Oh, I know in this country it's very hard not to keep our eyes fixed, amen, on the physical. We're bombarded every day with all kinds of stimulus. But my friends, if we don't keep our eyes fixed, as Paul said, Book of Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you say you're saved, you're born again, you've been risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. See? That's what being resurrected it should do to you. Amen. It should change the way that you look at things and where your focus is. But when you start looking stop looking forward to the spiritual. Stop looking for the New Jerusalem. Stop listening for the trump of God and the shout of the archangel. Stop looking for his appearing. Oh, you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble, my friend. One last thing. How believers may lose their spiritual sight when you and I stop looking outward for souls. Amen. Jesus was always looking outward for souls. Matthew chapter 9. You know, we have a lot of highways up here. Maybe they're, you know, you've heard of that big fiasco, that big dig project here. Got a lot of highways and so forth and so on. And a lot of times when the traffic gets backed up and I look at the traffic and I see all those cars bumper to bumper, and I think about, you know, the majority of those people are going to hell. There's no right roadside signs around along the road that say, hey, you know, hell 10 miles, hell 5 miles, hell 1,000 feet. People all of a sudden find themselves in hell, thinking they were all set. Amen. When we stop looking outward for souls, then we can lose our spiritual eyesight. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he, referring to Jesus, saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, he saw them. They were weary. They were lost. They were scattered. They had no one to guide and direct them. And he had compassion on them. Then saith he unto his disciples. I can see the Lord now as he turns to them and he says this. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, many people are out there needing to be saved. They're lost. Needing for someone to guide them, direct them, show them what the Word of God says and how they can be saved, my friends. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. You know, we talk about missionaries, we pray for missionaries, we support missionaries, but you know what? We all are missionaries. When you leave the church house, amen, and you go out those doors, you're entering the mission field. You're a laborer. There's a vast harvest out there. And when you stop looking outward for souls, then you're going to lose your spiritual eyesight, my friend. Jesus had compassion. He saw their dilemma. They were lost, and they needed someone to guide them. Is he calling you? Is there someone that you know that's lost and needs to be guided, needs to be showed how they can be saved? Won't you go? Won't you be a laborer in the harvest? How believers may lose their sight when they take their eyes off Jesus, when they look back, when they start looking around at others, when they stop looking forward to the spiritual, eternal, and heavenly, and when they stop looking outward for souls. Time again has run out on the pastor study. Until we meet again, this is Brother Gino. Say my prayer for each and every one of you is that God would richly bless you, and good day.